Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We do it each and every day. It's brought to you by our good friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man. BrightBoxElectrical.com. 770-901-2500 is the number. If you want the ultimate man cave or just home security or home monitoring at a fraction of the cost, call the guys at BrightBox and get them out there today.
All right, we're going to talk more about our Atlanta United winning yesterday against Orlando. Some thugs were out there. We'll get into that coming up.
Well, there were thugs in the on the pitch and thugs in the stands.
That's right. They were all over the place as 24,000 on hand to see our United win. But before we get to that, Mike, let's talk about the dogs. And real quick, I was looking at this over the weekend, and I find it interesting. It's a great problem to have, but we didn't see DeAndre Swift at the spring game. Now, we were there for G-Day. Swift's a guy that ran for over 600 yards, three touchdowns, and Mike, his per yard carry average, 7.6 yards per carry.
Yeah, big play, man, big play. He was a nice change of pace so often between Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. When you see him out there, you know he can make it happen as well.
So Chubb and Sony Michel, you know, they got the bulk of the carries, but then you had Swift. But what about Elijah Holyfield, who saw a lot of time during G-Day, and he averaged 5.9 yards a carry last year? Here's the thing, guys. We don't even know what Zamir White, Zeus, can do. He was the number one running back coming out of high school this year. He signed. James Cook, the brother of Dalvin Cook, who plays with the Vikings, was the number three all-purpose back. He signed. This is an issue when you talk about who's going to get carries. And, oh, by the way, Brian Herrien's still there, too, who was really productive when he got the opportunity. My point is, Kirby Smart, and more importantly, Jim Chaney don't have a shortage when it comes to running backs, Mike. We talk about the quarterback situation. What do you do here? Right. Do you give Swift the majority of the carries? Are you rotating guys in? Because we don't even know, as I said, what Zamir White can do.
Yeah, man, Holyfield, we always forget about how good job that Elijah does. So you've got it's a good problem to have. But here's, a good way of looking at it. I don't think Georgia fans expect Zeus to be redshirted, right? I mean, they expect to see the kid out there. So, but you don't have to put the heat on him. You can bring him along slowly. I'm not concerned with the offense. I'm just worried about how the defense handles the young defense with all the turnover at linebacker or defensive line. And in parts of the secondary can come together for that South Carolina game. And we talked about it last week for guys who missed it. You know, you get Mizzou in a very potent offense, at least throwing the football early on in the season while you're still trying to, you know, find your way.
No doubt, man. I think, for Jim Chaney, now it becomes about how you – and we said this last year with Sony Michel and Chubb, and they did a really good job. But you have to balance it. But, Mike, I think in those moments, for example, in the Alabama game where Sony was getting more – out of it. You got to know in that moment.
Go with the hot hand.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that concerns me. You know, as you try to split playing time and snaps, let's go with the hot hand. And if it happens to be Zamir White or Elijah Holyfield one day, so be it. I can't get caught up in, well, I deserve or Swift deserves more carries. And sometimes I felt like that's how Jim Chaney operated with Chubb. I got to give Chubb X amount of carries, even though Sony was getting extra yards.
Right. So we'll see how that moving forward, if you're going to see more footballs at the tight end. I know we've talked about that. Kirby gets defensive when you hear about it. The good news is you've got about five or six real weapons out there. You know, wide receiver core, guys that stuck around. Obviously, Wims left for the NFL, but there's still a lot of playmakers for Chaney to dial up. And sometimes, much like with Shanahan, remember, 2 years ago, we were all over, you know, killing Chaney. Last year, things really came and were dialed in. And then late in the Alabama game, though, you're right. It was Sony was the right guy for the job, just the same way that Tevin Coleman was the right guy for the job late in the game against the Eagles for the Falcons.
It is Dukes and Bells. We go on the sidelines with the dogs. All right, Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh says he's looking at potential ways to provide compensation for players, his players, without making them full employees. What do you make of this?
How's that going to work?
I have no idea. And again, this is Harbaugh again. Yeah. Toying with the system. Remember the camps a couple of years ago?
Oh, now he's got a quarterback. We're starting hearing from Harbaugh again? Is that how it works? Because, oh, I mean, it was all Harbaugh. 24-7 Harbaugh dominating the offseason. Harbaugh's in Italy. Harbaugh's meeting the Pope. Harbaugh's in somebody's backyard in Georgia. And then we don't hear him for 2 years. Oh, now he's popping off. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious to see how he's going to try to pull this off. Provide compensation for his players without making them full employees. That's a story that's out there. Again, is this just hot air? Maybe it is. Maybe it's just Harbaugh talking. You're not going to do anything without the approval of the NCAA. I don't care who you are. And more importantly, you start paying your players, even though they're not full-time employees, Mike, you're going to have a problem with the rule violations, the way the system is currently constructed. I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm glad that he's out there putting, in all seriousness, he's putting the conversation out there, because after the NCAA had their fact-finding nonsense and that dog and pony show, which doesn't really give you any clarity about anything moving forward, because the NCAA still wants to spin it that these student-athletes are students first, which, yes, technically,
they are.
For the NBA, for the NFL, the 1% of the athletes that are really generating revenue, the guys that people are wearing jerseys of in the stands or playing video games of, and the kids that make it to the pros, those guys deserve a little more piece of the action. That word's come up a lot today. Hey guys, one little SEC nugget for you as we transition from the dog report to Tennessee. I meant to read this to you on Friday, didn't get a chance. It was a Saturday Down South article, pretty interesting, about how the old coach, Butch Jones, obviously message falling on deaf ears. The proof was in the pudding. It was off the rails. The job that Jeremy Pruitt's doing up there, Carl, I mean, the offensive line, a lot like Florida State, a lot of question marks, not really sure who's going to start. But one thing for certain, every job is up for grabs, and Jeremy Pruitt is basically putting these kids through basically a Tennessee version of boot camp during spring football. Said basically the same stuff you heard, and it's so funny because it's teams who want to export or import that Alabama business model. Remember Kirby? Kirby came in, he heard there were some dog players. Look, no disrespect to Mark Rick, new sheriff in town. We do things differently here. And it was the kind of work ethic and the kind of stuff that Pruitt was trying to instill when he was on the Georgia coaching staff, which apparently caused some friction. Well, now he's running the show up in Knoxville. And again, it's not going to be an instant turnaround. But one thing for certain, they're not going to get out toughed or outworked.
No, and I think that's an element. You know, I've heard that no-nonsense thing is going on. You know, some guys, they like the music playing, and there's a relaxed environment. I think for Dan Quinn, it's all about up-tempo when we're out there for camp and having the music playing and a distraction somewhat. But some college, campuses, Mike, and where they have practices, it's kind of a relaxed atmosphere. I think that's what the deal was with Tennessee. He came in, he's cleaning all that up.
And like Kirby, underclassmen, you're not speaking to the media either. So that's good. Everybody and all the ships are pointing in the same direction. But there's a little SEC Tennessee talk in the dog report.
Speaking of Tennessee, real quick, Tennessee and Alabama cracked the $100 million mark in gross revenues for the fiscal year 2016. All right, this is going back July 1st, 2016 to June 30th, 2017. And the numbers came out. I just want to point this out. This is how much money the SEC football programs are raking in, okay? Uh-huh. And over that same period of time, there were four Big Ten schools that cracked $70 million. But you had Georgia, Mike, that made in that fiscal year, we're talking 2016 to 2017, $93 million. That's a $5.7 million increase from the previous year. Alabama made $110 million, a $4.3 million increase. But the Vols came in at $110.7 million, they're just a little bit more than Alabama. But the deal is, that was the year they had the Battle of Bristol game.
Right.
Remember that?
They played Virginia Tech at Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yes,
right?
But they had seven home games, and that was the hype year that Butch was supposed to do something special.
Right.
So they're selling out all their home games, the memorabilia or the merchandise is moving off the shelf. They have the big game at Bristol. But, yeah, just to say, even though when the program seems down and Tennessee's not winning,
they're still generating a lot of loot.
They're still generating money. And that's the thing. The SEC is doing that more than any other conference in the country. And I only use that Big Ten reference because Big Ten schools cracked $70 million. There were four Big Ten schools. But you had, again, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, all over that $80 million mark. So a lot of money being distributed in the SEC. I think even Vandy had $30 million.
Right. And, of course, money also trickling through the NCAA. Obviously, guys, as we've talked about, they're trying to maybe get a handle on moving forward, and whether it's some degree of compensation above a Pell Grant, a stipend, something that everybody can sign off on. Well, one thing the NCAA had time to do, Carl, is come up with a silly rule. NCAA has approved a ruling limiting the number of people who get to wear headsets during a game. From 20 people down it's 20 a team, including 15 coaches. NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel approved the proposal from the Football Oversight Committee. This is on Friday. The head coach, assistants, graduate assistants are allowed to be on headsets during a game, along with four players and one other staffer who's a non-coaching role. These are the things they come up with when no one's around.
So more or less, how many guys on the headset?
20.
Why do you need 20 guys on the headset?
Well, why would you even make a rule? Who cares if it's 40 guys on a headset? Give everybody a freaking headset.
Yeah.
Let all the backup quarterbacks hear what's going on with the play calling as their backup quarterbacks. But these, in case you're wondering what the NCAA does, all that money they make from the March Madness and other things they got their beak in the trough for, there you have it. Nice job.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We go on the sidelines each and every day with the dogs, as we said, and we talk college football. Again, right now, we're just kind of in that waiting period, but there is news trickling out and things that are happening. Can't wait till we get you know, to around midsummer, start talking about some of the things as we focus in on getting ready for the fall. But we do it each and every day, brought to you by our friends at Brightbox once again.
Hey, man, we have a question for you guys. We were talking earlier, big story for sports, the sports world. Mark Cuban says teams may double in value because of fan interest. That was his take on it. Not everyone agrees, but it is an interesting take. The Supreme Court ruling that a law that had been on the books for a number of years, almost 25 years, that strikes it down, saying that states will have the ability to decide if they want to have sports gambling, betting on sports, and it's not just in Nevada. We asked you guys on a Dukes and Bell Vision Computer poll question, and you can follow us at 92.9 The Game. Carl is put them up, C. Dukes, and I'm Mike Bell ATL. Go to Mike Bell ATL and our Vision Computer poll question. Now that the Supreme Court has opened the door to state-approved sports betting, do you want Georgia to get in on the action?
Yes, please.
86% of our respondents say yes. 14% saying no. We got over 230 votes so far. So, again, go to Mike Bell ATL and vote. Vision Computer poll brought to you by Vision Computer Guy, where the average hold time is less than 15 seconds, so you can get your software and hardware straightened out.
All right, Mike, I just got a tweet from one of our followers, and he says, Dukes, what do you think about this? This is JP who sent it to me. What has Dennis Schroeder said about his future with the Hawks? We will tell you coming up here in just a second, but right now let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Lion, L-I-O-N. You were just talking about tigers and cages. Lion, L-I-O-N. Text that right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000.
Lion, guys. I'll be singing, Arthur. Iron like a lion from Zion.
Not going to sing some Bob Marley, man? Wow.
Gets me hyped for the beach.
Lion, L-I-O-N. That goes to 72881. That's 72881. And good luck. You got a few minutes, so don't be texting and driving, but make sure you get Lion to 72881 for the shot of the grand.
All right, I'll retweet this. Appreciate my man again, JP, hitting me up and asking me about this. We've talked about this prior to the season ending. But Dennis Schroeder says he could imagine being traded to the Pacers or the Bucks. When asked about, you know, his future with the team, remember, Schroeder's 24 years old, he says he envisions two possibilities and scenarios as his next move. And he was addressing reporters at a press conference for the German Basketball Federation. Okay,
yeah.
He said he could envision playing with the Pacers or the Bucks if his time in Atlanta is over. Why even say that unless you know? Why wouldn't you say, hey, I expect to be back in Atlanta. We got a new coach, new direction. I'm excited. Why are you talking about playing somewhere else?
If you must know, Carl, unfortunately for me, I was cornered by Von McClure's cousin over there. His name is Dieter McClure, and he asked me repeatedly about my happiness level here in Atlanta.
So you finally cracked.
And I finally cracked. And he pushed me. He pushed me to a corner, and I said, yes, I'm probably dead man walking over here.
Yeah.
Everyone knows which way the wind is blowing. I will not be a hawk for long.
Okay. Don't you find that interesting?
Going to take my umlauts elsewhere.
I mean, you got 3 years left on your deal with the Hawks, and yet somebody says, hey, Dennis, what do you expect your future to be?
Milwaukee?
I don't know. by the way, Coach Bud.
I don't get it.
Does Coach Bud want to? You think Bud lost hair pulling his hair out over Dennis? I mean, there's still some thoughts that Coach Bud is either Toronto or Milwaukee. Seem to be the leading candidates for Coach Bud.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, when I saw this and I was like, now we had talked about this.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, but do you believe in him or not? Because the guy, when the guy was on, there's times where he looks like he can be an elite level point guard in this league, and there's times where he makes you want to throw a brick at the television.
Consistency, and let me ask you this. I mean, for a guy, if you're playing with Giannis, that's different, but this was your chance, Mike, with the team that's growing, to be the guy every night.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, you could have shown us, you know, and given us 25, 27. Nobody was stopping Dennis Schroeder from scoring,
right,
and especially late in games.
Until he got injured. Yeah, I mean, there was a chance. What was it? Was it the night in Utah where he went bananas?
Yeah, it was one night in Utah. Sounds like a song. One night in Utah.
Or a really, really boring porn movie.
Either or. But Dennis Schroeder, you asked me this, do I believe in him? No. And I know he's 24 years old, but here's the bigger thing for me. I just don't know if he's in the plans of what our general manager wants to do. And because of that, obviously Dennis doesn't believe that. Because if I got 3 years left on a deal, why am I talking about maybe being in Milwaukee or throwing out that I might be potentially with the Indiana Pacers? And the Pacers have a point guard, by the way, just so you know. So just interesting.
I mean, like I said, we've gone round and round this. I stuck up for Schroeder for a while. I know we always joke around that Arthur is a xenophobe. I didn't like Germans. But Arthur, who covered the NBA for years as a PR guy, not a fan of Schroeder because of the inconsistency. I mean, look, the off-the-court stuff, that's garden variety shenanigans. Right. He'll deal with that. But as far as, you know, moving forward, I mean, a 24-year-old guy that you developed, that you drafted from Europe. You should be excited that, you know, this guy's here for the long haul. But he's a very exasperating player, right? I mean, it's probably a 50-50 answer if you ask any Hawks fan if you want him to stick around.
3 years, how much left on his deal?
And he's cheap.
$15.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, by current NBA standards, that's not expensive.
It's not expensive at all. All right, Dennis is not going to be here. I don't believe he's going to be here.
Well, thanks for nothing.
All right, coming up, man, we got more to get to, including our conversation with Gary Washburn. He covers the NBA for the Boston Globe. He's an NBA columnist. What does he make of yesterday's performance with the Cavs? We'll talk about tonight's game one in the Western Conference. And what does he think about our new head coach? Find out next. Brian Behind the Glass, our engineer today, a.k.a. Sam Tarley, AT Executive Producing. It is Dukes and Bell. We were talking about the NBA playoffs, what happened with LeBron and company last night. But I think you got to give credit where credit's due. But let's be clear, Hawks fans, as you're watching this version of Al Horford, he didn't do this for us. His points didn't increase like this in the playoffs traditionally. He was going to give you 13 and 6, Mike, and we'd come in and we'd go, man, I wish we got more from Al. And all of a sudden, everybody's talking about Al and this resurgence of, you know, him being and playing on a superstar level. Good for Al, but he didn't do this when he was with the Hawks.
Yeah, he's up about 6.5 points per game on his playoff performance this year than his average with the Hawks. He had not in his articles, a number of articles written about how he had not performed well against the Cavs. Obviously, we got swept by the Cavs in the conference finals and the game where he got the boot. And like he has had and he wouldn't be the only player that has not had a lot of success against LeBron in the East. But hey, good for him. And I think Brad Stevens is going to his strengths. I don't know what happened here. We never really knew who the guy was taking the shot in the 60-win season, but it wasn't going to be Al.
No, and now he's the guy they're counting on. Joining us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, Boston Globe NBA columnist Gary Washburn, friend of the show. And, Gary, it's good to have you back on. As we talk about Al, I just want to take a second because I brought this up today on a
You're not bitter about this, are you?
Oh, no. Hey, brother, you know what the story is,
okay,
bro.
I don't see
Gary.
There's a tinge of bitterness about Gary.
Okay, Gary,
I just want to make sure.
You got like the three Al fans in town chirping today. Like Al's sister's on social media, like, yeah, there you go. I'm like, yeah, for $27 million, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, but let's talk about, as I said, I did this today on social media on my podcast. The credit needs to go to Danny Ainge, doesn't it? For building this team and having the depth to be in this position. For all that Al is doing, it's great. And for all that Brad Stevens has done, but really, Danny Ainge is the guy behind the scenes that has helped this team get to where they are.
Yeah, it's been he has had some shaky drafts over the last 10 years. You know, he has not scored all that well. I mean, they took the kid from Georgia State, R.J. Hunter. He's out of the NBA. A guy named Juwan Johnson in the first round. I mean, they have taken some picks that didn't work, but the last three that worked, or the last four. Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, all four have hit. In the last two, Brown, obviously, who's from your neck of the woods, and Tatum have hit big time. And that's what's helped uplift this franchise is good drafts. And that's something that couldn't always be said.
Mm. What about the Kyrie Irving dynamic? I mean, how could this team compete with the winner in the West if Kyrie Irving's healthy on the court?
Yeah, I think they could. I mean, Irving's a great player, and we'll see what happens to this team next year. I just think this team is looking forward to any challenge game by game. I don't think they're looking forward to the finals. I don't think anyone thought that they could make the finals. They are just looking forward to every series. Okay, let's try to get past Milwaukee. Okay, this is what we need to do to beat Philadelphia. And then here comes Cleveland. Okay. This is the game plan we have to stick to beat Cleveland. I don't think they're looking that far ahead because they know that if they do, they'll stumble. But I do think, obviously, we'll see what happens with this team next year. You're talking about basically adding two all-stars to this team as it's currently constructed that's winning playoff games. So it should be a title contender next year. And if one of my coworkers told me if they make the finals this year, then the finals next year is going to be like a foregone conclusion. Like, that's the expectation
right.
for the next couple of years. Like, this team is setting a high bar for itself.
We had a chance to see Jaylen Brown at Wheeler High School here in the ATL. This kid has been unbelievable, hasn't he, this season?
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who, when he got to the NBA, he was known as just a kind of a freakish athlete who could get to the basket, he could dunk on you, you know, but he needs to work on his basketball skills. He needs to work on his skill set. He needs to work on his shooting. He needs to work on his ball handling. all of that has happened. He has become a good three-point shooter. He's become a good open-court dribbler, which enables him to get to the basket and to dunk on opponents. He has just refined his game because, as you guys know, there's a lot of guys with these freakish athletic skills who get to the NBA, and they just can't play. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just athletes, and the NBA is filled with athletes. And I think Jalen, his rookie year, learned, hey, man, there's a bunch of guys like me who are athletic, who can run and jump. Like, I need to get better at basketball things so I can stay in this league and be an potential all-star, and that's what he's done.
It is Dukes and Bell talking to Gary Washburn. Proof there are cool people in Boston. Boston Globe NBA columnist with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Gary, we mentioned this last week. I mean, Brad Stevens is well thought of, and, I mean, unbelievable job he's done. How does he not get any votes from his peers and when the coaches decide on Coach of the Year?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot. I think it's two things. I think, one, the coaches are a fraternity, right? Mm-hmm. And they all saw that Dwayne Casey, his job was probably on the line, and that he had been much maligned over the last few years. And his job, so they're like, let's do one for Dwayne. Okay, let's give him this kudos, but it didn't work. He got fired 48 hours. He got fired on his day off, right? So, you know, it didn't work. The whole coaches fraternity thing didn't work. So I think that some coaches thought that. Other coaches are probably, you know, a little bit annoyed with the accolades that Stevens has received, the Wunderkind, the, you know, the Doogie Howser coaching, all the above. And they probably thought, you know what, this guy's going to get enough. You know, let me vote for a coach who's been around the block, who's maybe taken a team who wasn't expected to make the playoffs, like a Utah or Indiana. And let me vote for Nick McMillan or Quinn Snyder. Or let me get a vote for Dwayne Casey because, you know, this is a guy who deserves it. You know, maybe they thought Brad has enough nice things. He doesn't need a Coach of the Year award.
Yeah, it is pathetic, to be honest with you. I mean, the guy does a hell of a job, and he should be, you know, rightfully credited for that. And that comes from your peers. I don't get it either, Gary. Gary Washburn joining us. What do you think about the Hawks hire as they made it official Friday? The press conference was today. Lloyd Pierce. Now, you cover the NBA all the time. What do you know about Lloyd Pierce?
Good young assistant, eager. It helps Philadelphia and their resurrection. I always thought Lloyd might be a year or two from getting an NBA job. I thought he was on the rise, and I thought he was on the radars of teams. But this was, I thought, a little bit earlier than I thought. But I think it's a good hire. He's energetic. You know, he's young. He's enthusiastic. I said, and he's done the reclamation project before and helping out in Philadelphia. And, you know, the Hawks, I mean, I know you guys down there are hard on those Hawks, but listen, with Torian Prince, John Collins, and Schroeder, along with three first-round picks, and then if you guys can bring a free agent in there, that the Hawks will be back and be back pretty soon. And so I don't think the situation like a Sacramento or even a Philadelphia 4 or 5 years ago where it's going to be a lot of terrible basketball with a lot of terrible talent on the floor. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some entertaining basketball. The Hawks might not win a whole lot of games next year, but they're going to have a lot of good young talent. And that's what you want. You want to build from the ground up, and then you bring in a free agent or two, and then you really compete. So I think the Hawks, with them three first-round picks and now a good, young, energetic coach, are making the right moves.
It is our man Gary Washburn talking about the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA. We'll be talking Falcons. Falcon Report guys coming up at the top of the hour. Hey, Gary, did you buy LeBron's spin that in some cases he likes to let the other team win a game because it's a feel-out process to see what they're all about?
I do think it's a feel-out process, but you know, filling out, there's a difference in filling a game out and warming up and then losing by 25 points. I mean, I don't think he envisioned that. I mean, I do think, though, he's not concerned. He is Superman. He has pulled out series before when they go down 0-1. They got blown out at home in the opening game against the Indiana Pacers. Everybody thought, is this the end of the Cavs? And the Cavs ended up winning in 7. So I don't think he's particularly super concerned, but I do think he understands that this team needs to make adjustments, and the Celtics aren't pushovers, and they are not Toronto. This is not a team that's going to fold or back down. And I think that, you know, maybe the Cavaliers have been spoiled over the last week or so playing the Raptors and getting some time off, reading the Clippings, feeling themselves a little bit about, yeah, they're ready to get back to the finals and maybe get a rematch with the Warriors, but not so fast.
What do you make about tonight's game 1 in the Western Conference Finals? Listen, everybody's talking about James Harden being the MVP. And I do think he is. But can he elevate the Rockets to beat the Golden State Warriors?
I think that this game is critical for Houston to win. They got to make a statement this series. This series is going to say a lot about the future of the Houston Rockets franchise. If they get, you know, lose the series in 4 or 5 games, okay, now if it goes to an epic 7-game series, then, you can basically bring back the same crew, maybe make some adjustments and try to go for it again. But if you lose in 4 or 5 games and there's meltdowns by Paul and Harden, then you pretty much might have to blow this thing up, right? I mean, because they fell on their face. Because this is the series that the general manager, Daryl Morey, has been preparing for 4 or 5 years. You know, give me the guys to compete with the Warriors. He's been shooting for the Warriors for the last, several years. He finally brought in Chris Paul. He brought in P.J. Tucker. You know, Eric Gordon a few years ago, they got shooters. They got Clint Capela, a legitimate big man. Harden's playing at MVP level. But let's see what happens when they get hit in the mouth and they're challenged by a team that's just as good as they are. We'll see that in this series. So I think it's critical for the Rockets to win game one and to make a statement. If they lose game one, especially if they don't look good in doing so, it could be a very short series.
Gary, agree with you there, man. Can't wait to see what plays out and how this plays out in both of these series. Gary covers the league, guys. NBA columnist for the Boston Globe. He joins us regularly during the NBA season. Good stuff. Appreciate your comments on our new coach. It's something we're talking about today, Gary. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No doubt.
That's our man, Gary Washburn, from the Boston Globe, covering hoops, man. Bravos keep on battling. Had a nice run down in Florida. We'll talk more about that. But as we mentioned, the Falcon Report is coming up. What do the rookies have to say? But for those who've been following the show over the past few weeks, Sean the Underboss, in a vicious attempt to undercut the boss's authority, has mandated his own set of new rules. One being, producers don't get any speaking parts on the program. Well, we alleviate that with our next segment. Yeah, Man, No Man, where Arthur Trish gets to speak. Hashtag Free Trish.
Free AT.
Freedom!
It's time for Yeah, Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
I don't know. I heard AT's voice change. Let's find out. It's time for Yeah, Man, No Man. Well, go ahead, man. What's going on?
You know, I've got broad shoulders. I appreciate all the support I've gotten over Twitter for the producers as well.
Yeah.
Give us our chance. That's all.
Free AT!
Free AT. Right. Hashtag Free AT. No Trish, no peace.
Hey, let's start with the MMA today. As UFC legend Chuck Liddell claims he's interested in a return to the octagon.
Sit your ass.
And no, that he wants
him.
To
you
fight.
Tell him that.
He wants to fight John Bones Jones. Oh. Now, remember, Liddell's last fight was in 2010, and he thinks he can challenge Jones after 2 fights. Now, Jones has been off as well, but does he stand a chance?
No, man. I mean, you know, Father Time, it's just not about what you can do athletically. It's the same reason Mike doesn't fist fight anybody anymore. Okay?
Yeah, I started losing.
your reaction time is not what you think it is.
Right.
I played in this 3-on-3 Hawks basketball media tournament. I still need to see some identification from some of you folks at WSB. But that's neither here nor there. My mind was telling me, oh, just cross him over, put it through your legs and go to the hoop. My body was like, you're not doing all that. He's past his time.
Love Chuck Liddell. Great interview. He's nuts half the time when you get him on the show. He's always entertaining. But he also lost 5 of his last 6 fights, going back to, 07 and 10. I mean, he was a guy that helped put UFC on the map. But, yeah, no way. No way, Jose.
All right, after his weekend performance, are you starting to think Tiger Woods will win a tournament this year?
Yes, I do. Yeah, man. I think he was incredible over the weekend. I'm going to tell you guys something. Bridgestone is one thing. This was the PGA Championship. This is the best of the best of the best. And Tiger.
Yeah, this is the Players' Championship.
The Players' Championship. And Tiger was down 14 strokes to Webb Simpson and came within 4. Yeah, I got a feeling he's on the come and he's going to win one this year.
Yeah, man. Tiger, like we said, in this case, the putter kind of let him down on Sunday. But he was in a position to really, really put some heat to him. And it was interesting because Webb Simpson said, Carl, he knew that Tiger was doing something because he heard the noise on Saturday especially. But a 65 and a 69 is final two. I'm going to say, yeah, man. Now, I'm not sure it's going to be a major, but I think he's going to win a tournament.
All right, let's talk about these hooligans in Orlando. Do you think the MLS should levy a stiff fine to Orlando City on the lack of class its fans showed on Sunday?
There's no doubt in my mind, and I'll be disappointed if the league doesn't come down hard on these hooligans and fools in Orlando?
Well, I mean, look, you put a franchise in Orlando because, what? I mean, they got nothing else to do. This is what they got. I mean, you made the bad decision to live in the middle of Florida and you're not near a beach. And unless you're a pro golfer living in Islesworth or something, Carl, or Windermere, you made a bad decision. Okay, I'm sorry you have to dress up like Mickey Mouse for a job. There are a bunch of punks up there or down there. They're a bunch of jabronis. What do you expect? Now, should they levy a fine, $100,000, $50,000? You know, you're throwing stuff on the field because your guy took a bad dive and you didn't know what it was.
I will be disappointed if the league does not come down right. hard on these thugs.
All right, we'll talk to Commissioner Garber. He's friends with you now with us.
Yes,
we'll
he
see
is.
If he can drop the hammer on those chumps.
Earlier, by the way, I did say there was only one good thing about Orlando. It was Disney. Actually, it's two good things. It's Universal City, but that's it. Go ahead.
Hey, the Caps rolled the
nice
Lightning.
There's a nice steakhouse in International.
the Caps rolled the Lightning last night in the NHL East Final. And they looked impressive in doing so. So can this perennial playoff disappointment win the Stanley Cup?
I'm starting to believe this might be their year. You know, the beating of the Penguins maybe got the monkey off their back.
Right.
And now they're feeling no pressure. Mm-hmm. Ovechkin and company, they're playing well. I watched game one of the Vegas series. And, boy, Mike, the Winnipeg Jets looked unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, it is kind of exciting because there are a few guys that were here for the last couple of years of the Thrashers.
Big Bufflin.
Man, it's unbelievable to watch that. But yeah, I think Tampa Bay bounces back. I think the Ovechkin series that goes seven.
Okay,
but don't write out. But again, if they can't get it done in this next game, yeah, Lightning up against the wall.
And that home ice advantage is so real in Winnipeg. I mean, again, it's hard to quantify that with what we have as far as American sports. But somebody said it's like, you know, the Packers. That's all they do. They live, eat, sleep. Winnipeg Jets.
While LeBron says he has zero level of concern after losing game one to Boston, should he be?
I know you're not asking me this. Why, though? Why? No, man, he shouldn't be concerned. Listen, Boston has played above and beyond and over their head all season long with the injury to Gordon Hayward. Then Kyrie goes down and everybody says they're done. This is a nice story. But no, man, he should not be worried.
Oh, wow. Yours. I mean, look, I've come over to your side of this LeBron versus Jordan historical argument. But, I mean, LeBron can spin a post-loss BS like nobody, man. The idea that, yeah, man, like the size of the opponent, got to feel it out. Like to feel him out. Drop, you know, get smoked by 20 in their building and it'll go for 15. That's my feeling out process. Oh. I mean, Kevin Love's going to have to respond. All right, Kevin Love's going to have to step up because who else is going to do it for that team?
Well, he did have a great quote, if you remember. He did say, this is not March Madness, so it's not one and done.
Very good, LeBron.
Now, Tyronn Lue is thinking about inserting Tristan Thompson in the lineup for tomorrow, so that could be
Playing him at center. So he would guard Al, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, you got to make some adjustments.
We talked about this earlier. John Elway believes the Chargers could be the team to beat in the AFC West. Do you agree?
We were talking about this. If you believe in the quarterbacks in that division, right?
Right.
Then you would say yes, because Phillip Rivers is now the guy with the most experience. You know, he's been to playoffs, Mike. But I've never had this belief that Phillip Rivers was going to take a team and put him on his back. And that was in his prime. He's past that now. So, you know, unless they have some amazing pieces that we're not familiar with, I do think the Chargers would be a very formidable team. They should make the playoffs this year. But, yeah, to answer that question, they are the team to beat. It's not the Broncos because I don't know what Case Keenum's going to be there.
Great defense. You know that, man. They've got a bunch of studs on deep. They had a nice draft, some would say. I mean, you could argue that Mahomes and the Chiefs, that's a big wild card.
Well, that's right. And that's the team, actually, I'm still picking. I mean,
he's going to do what Matt Ryan did in 08.
Right. But you took basically an established guy in Alex Smith out. Mm-hmm. You're putting a rookie in, but he's still got all those playmakers. He's got the best tight end, arguably, in the league. You know, all those playmakers around him. I think the pressure is just to get the ball to those guys and let them work.
Hey, here's my final question for you guys. Chuck Knox was one of the NFL's greatest and underrated coaches who passed away this weekend. His style of ground chuck football was simple. Run the ball, don't throw interceptions, stop the run, and sack the quarterback. Should he be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yes.
No. No, great offensive line coach. I mean, the game of football evolved. The Bill Walsh offense evolved, and he stayed in the Middle Ages. Everyone loved playing for Chuck Knox. Great history, great career, you know. But, I mean, a guy, you didn't trust him to win the big game when he was coaching Seattle or the Rams. Let's get real, because they couldn't get – much like what we talk about with Georgia Tech, I know, different argument. No, when the rest of the league started throwing, You stayed with that style. No, not a great coach. Not a great overall Hall of Fame level coach.
Even, let me throw this note to you. But even though he wasn't, even though he was a three-time coach of the year at three different places.
Well, see, that's my argument, and the answer is it's hard to win in one place, let alone go to three different places and do what he did. I'm absolutely putting him in the Hall of Fame. He's got a winning record as a head football coach. And, again, I guess that award means nothing anymore, right? Coach of the Year is supposed to mean at least for three of those years, and he had a long career. This wasn't a guy that was out of the league in 5 or 6 years. I'd say yes.
I call shenanigans. We all know it was Ray Malavasi who took him to the Super Bowl, right? You need a different approach because they let Vince Ferragamo throw the damn thing.
Hey, man, coming up, it's our Falcon Report, the latest coming
Can
off the
weekend.
Can you
tell I lost money on that? It's the first Super Bowl I ever bet.
I was going to say, sounds a little salty
I
there.
I love that Ravens team with Jack and Joel Youngblood. Back to you.
Hey, what did Coach have to say, that's DQ, about the rookie minicamp? Find out next on Dukes and Bell.
3-8-T.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.